Amen, amen, amen. We were talking about Africa just before we came out, Pastor Mark and Pastor Lynn and I. And I sometimes send some of my people into the huge crowds to ask them a question. What made you come? Was it the singing? Because there's very good singing. Were it the healings? They were absolutely fantastic healings. Was it the preaching of the word? And you know what amazed me? 85% of those precious people there in Africa, on average, say the word. The word of God. Oh, it blessed me. It blessed me so immensely. Thank God for signs and wonders and miracles. That's all part of the gospel. It's an inherent part of the gospel. But oh, the word of God is number one. It's number one. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said. But my word shall never pass away. Hallelujah. Every time Jesus attended a funeral, he broke it up. He raised the dead. And that is why the undertakers hated him. Because they had to pay the money back. Jesus said, preach the gospel, raise the dead, cast out demons. This is still part and parcel of the Great Commission. And it's part and parcel of the church. Praise God. I just would like to say something about this book here. I have written, it's called Raised from the Dead. This is a testimony. I tell you, and this is the DVD, the documentation of what happened there. It's rock solid. Many people have tried to say it's not true, but I tell you there are 12,000 witnesses that were there. I was preaching in Onitsha, a city in Nigeria. They asked me to come and open a church. Actually, it's not my favorite. But because the pastor was such a nice, dear friend of mine, I said, I will come. And while I was preaching the gospel, it was packed, that big church was packed with 12,000 people. There was a commotion at the back. I didn't know what it was. In Africa, if there's a commotion, I don't stop preaching at all. Because the crowds normally are so big, if there's a commotion there, nobody realizes it over there. So I just keep preaching. They drove with ambulances through my crowd. I didn't stop preaching. Because the crowds are so big. So there was a commotion. I didn't know what it was. I just kept preaching. And I said, the Holy Spirit tells me something is going to happen here today that will make the ears tingle of the people across the whole world. The commotion was that somebody was brought in a coffin. A young man had died in an accident. He was 3 days in the mortuary. The doctor had issued the death certificate. And everything was there. Was the family, there were the neighbors, there were everything. I mean, it was absolutely a proven rock solid. The mortician, in whose mortuary that corpse had been lying was also there. He had embalmed him. He was embalmed. But the wife said, I have read in Hebrews, women receive their dead husbands back. God bless you, dear wives. And then came the ushers there and the officials of the church. And they said, you can't bring the coffin in. Monkey is already preaching. There were physical action against each other. She said, I will not leave this place. God has spoken. If we just can bring the coffin a little close to the anointed of the Lord, my husband will live. There came the Nigerian Secret Service. They are always around me because there are lots of threats against my life by someone else. I don't want to mention it. And so they said, well, maybe there's a bomb in the coffin. So they looked everything through. They said, no, it's just the coffin. It's just the corpse. All right. Then the church said, you can take the corpse down in the basement. And then the Lord will touch him. So that was the commotion. They took the corpse into the basement. I was preaching. When I started to pray, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Rise up and walk. In the basement, suddenly. Somebody had a camera there to film it. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I tell you, this DVD will knock you off your sofa. It's absolutely proven. I couldn't meet that man today. I'll tell you what. He is a pastor. He was a pastor. He's preaching the gospel today. It's a miracle. I think it's the closest to Lazarus in the Bible. He gave to me his death certificate and he said, this is my gift to you. You know what I did? I framed it very nicely and then I gave it back to him. I said, it doesn't fit me. We are living with the one who's the resurrection and the life. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it with all of my heart. With all of my heart. I could continue here and tell you. And I went with this man, Daniel Ekechukwu, is his name. I took him with me to Austria, to Vienna. We had a big, big meeting there. And then when we talked together, I said, you died of injuries to your chest. I said, do you have pain in your chest? He said, yes, I have pain. I said, in the chest? He said, no, but when I was down there in the basement, the brothers massaged me, and I have pain from the massage. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? No pain. Just a testimony, a living piece of evidence that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Are you happy? Have a look at it. And it will bless you mightily. It will bless you mightily. Praise God. I'll tell you what I want to do. Do you enjoy the gospel?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I'm an evangelist, and I always say I will never apologize for it. Never. I was preaching in the House of Parliament. The whole parliament, the whole government, they were all there. And I said, Lord, what must I preach? This is the House of Parliament. The Lord said to me, preach the gospel. That was when I was still younger. Preach the gospel. I said, thank you. And there they were, the speaker with his wig. Very dignified. Introduced me. And I said, Mr. Speaker, I'm also a speaker. But I am the mouthpiece of God here today. And I want to tell you what God has to say to this great nation. Then I started to preach. At first, everything was very quiet and dignified. I don't like it like that, but... Suddenly, a hallelujah over there. And then one there, then one there, one over there. Half an hour later, I thought I was on a soccer field. And then I fell back again and I said, oh Lord, this is the House of Parliament. This is not a gospel crusade. What about now? And the Lord said to me, I've never forgotten it. He said to me, Reinhard, no protocol, make an altar call. You can't learn that in the Bible school. But you can do it when you are in the flow. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Amen. So said everybody bow their heads. How many of you want to receive this Jesus as their personal Savior? I tell you, about 60%. 60%. And then the speaker came up. The speaker said, I'm giving to Reverend Punky my office for people who need to have a personal word. Peter Vandenberg and I, we went to the speaker's office and there I sat. Outside of that door was a whole line of parliamentarians who filed up to come in one after another. Some of them, they stepped over the threshold, closed the door, and fell on their faces on the carpet. Confessing their sins, although nobody had asked them to do it. Oh, I know one thing. This is the presence of the Lord. I pray that this may happen in America. America shall be saved. America shall be saved. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray that we may not be shy. You're not shy. We are not shy. We preach the word of God. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you the gospel first. Then I will make an altar call. And then I'm going to pray for the sick. And you better get ready. God is in this place. And Jesus is here. And he is the same. Right now. Amen. Let me turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I want to speak to you here today about the knocking Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here Jesus is speaking. And this is what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is the bread of life. And I've learned to do one thing. I've learned to break the bread of life into small pieces that people don't choke. But that they can eat it and enjoy it and receive it. And with it, Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Amen. Jesus says here, look, I'm standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him or her. I will eat with him or her, and they with me. Let me start off like this. The first thing that puzzles me here is that Jesus is outside the door. Shouldn't he by right be already inside? By right, yes. Because he's our creator and he is our savior. He should actually already be inside. So why is he outside? And to explain that, I've got to tell you a little story. I read about a soldier who was taken captive. He was a young man. He just had married before he was drafted into war. And 1, 2, 3, that young man was captured by the enemy and taken to these terrible prison camps that existed. That he was there in the prison camp was not the worst. The worst was his separation from his beloved wife. Her name was Margaret. Margaret. Every morning he woke up, Margaret. Week after week, month after month, year after year, he was thinking of Margaret. Where is she? Has she survived? Is she still alive? My darling Margaret. One day, the warden came with a list of names and said, these men on this list are going to be released today. The list of names was read out. His wasn't on. But the next day another list was read out. And this time his was right on top. Oh, he was jumping for joy. I'm going to see Margaret. I pray she is still alive. He was released. He returned home. He had to creep over rubble. and ruins. And then he saw his house was still standing. His house was still standing. And then he was there knocking on the door. And then he heard footsteps. Footsteps he had been dreaming about for 5 years. He knew those footsteps. These were Margaret's footsteps. And then the moment of all moments came. The door opened. And there was Margaret. More beautiful than ever. Just like the rising sun that morning. He opened his arms and he shouted, "Margaret, my darling, I am home." And then something terrible happened. Margaret slammed the door and locked it. And he was hammering, "Margaret, I'm your husband. I'm your husband." She never opened. And shall I tell you why? Because there was another man inside. Suddenly, I see Jesus standing outside. And he is knocking. We don't let him in. Why not? Because we've got the wrong partner inside. And the wrong partner is the devil. He's the deceiver. He brings torments, sorrows, hellish fears, and all these things. He's a murderer. He's the deceiver. He is the snake in the grass. That's what the devil is. And he's inside. And Jesus happens to be outside. But he's patiently waiting. And he is knocking. He is knocking. Because he wants to come in. Tonight, as I preach the gospel, as I speak to you, I know Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He loves you so much. You are his darling. He loves you so much that he died for you. And he's knocking, asking you to open the door of your heart. And let him come in. Well, I suppose, right now, I suppose that as you hear the knocking of Jesus himself here tonight, that you will want to open your heart for him. But to that, I come a little later. I just want to tell you what is going to happen when you respond to his knocking. If you hear this knocking from the outside by Jesus and you open from the inside, wow. Jesus says, "I will come in." This is the I will God who says, "I will." And tonight here, Jesus will come to you. He will come in. Now I'm telling you, when Jesus walks over the threshold into your life, into your heart, what he's going to do first. Do you want to know? Yes. I'll tell you. He is going to go through every room looking for somebody. Because the devil also heard the knocking. And now he tries to hide. Because Jesus is the Son of God, the Redeemer of men and women. And then he finds him. In a wardrobe, maybe. And when he finds the devil, he is not going to say, "Mr. Devil, would you please be so kind to leave this person? Because I'm now here." You don't need to give notice to the devil. I'll tell you, Jesus will get him by the neck. And he will get the right foot of the fellowship. And he is being kicked out. Hallelujah. He's being kicked out. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he came as our Savior, but he came as the enemy of the devil. And the prodigal son, when he left his job as looking after pigs, I didn't read anywhere that he gave notice to his boss. Break any contract with the devil you got. And Jesus will kick him out. What you don't manage and didn't manage, Jesus will do in a split of a second. He will set you free. He will set you free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And when Jesus is inside of you, he's building his throne. He's not just coming as a guest. He's coming as the Lord of Lords. He wants to take ownership. I commit myself to Jesus, and he takes ownership of my whole life and of your life. You are no more alone when temptation should knock on your door. You have Jesus with you. Hallelujah. I was preaching the gospel somewhere and a young man came to me. I said to him, "Have you already received Jesus as your Savior?" "Oh," he said, "I already got saved 5 times. I said, "How is that possible?" "Well," he said, "I got saved 5 times and I got lost 5 times. And right now I'm lost." I said, "You're talking nonsense. Give me an explanation." "Oh," he said, "I like that." So he started with his explanation. He said, "Preacher, the gospel you preach is too difficult for me. I know the 10 commandments, he says. And it says, you shall not commit adultery. But that is just my weakness. I get saved and I say, forgive me my adultery. I no more want it ever again. Next day, on my way to work, I see a beautiful woman. And I melt like snow. He said, the gospel you preach is not for a weak man like me. It's for people who are strong. What? I nearly exploded. I said, listen, I want to tell you one thing. If Jesus was as weak as you are, or if Jesus was as weak as I am, neither you nor I need Jesus. Because two weak men don't equal a strong man. I said, who told you that Jesus is as weak as you? It's the lie of the devil. Jesus, before he rose to heaven, opened his arms. And this is what he said. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. The Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Savior of the world. He is most powerful. I said, if you gave your life to Jesus, the real Jesus, then the strong enters the weak. And then the weak can say, I am strong. Hallelujah. And I am a witness in my own life. The strong Jesus lives in me and wants to live in you. You don't need to cry over sins anymore. Jesus is there. The Almighty God. Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful gospel. The weak says, I'm strong. You know, when I look at the cross consists of two beams. The horizontal one is like a minus. They're like the sign in minus of minus in business. That's our part of the cross of Jesus Christ. Actually, we all were born with that minus. We long for love, but we don't have love. We long for peace, but we don't have peace. It's a minus. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God, no matter who. But God saw our dilemma and heard our cries. What did he do? Hallelujah. He sent Jesus from heaven to this world. And outside of Jerusalem, on a low hill called Golgotha, Jesus crossed through our minus and turned it into a plus. The cross, I see the cross as the divine plus factor for us. Jesus died for us to save us. He rose for us, and the cross is our plus factor. Hallelujah, Savior, resurrection, and life. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach a whole sermon on that, but I don't want to. All I want to say is this plus factor. This is divine arithmetic. This is what the Holy Spirit taught me. Divine arithmetic, the plus factor, the cross. With a cross, Jesus adds himself to us. You see, I alone am weak. Actually, I alone am very weak. But I, plus the cross, Jesus equals a child of God. I am weak, but I plus the cross, Jesus equals more than a conqueror. Yeah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious gospel. It all falls into place. And here we see the Lamb of God, and we cry, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Are you happy?
Yes.
You know, a little African story comes to my mind. It's something like a parable, but I think it illustrates the point very well. There was an ant, a tiny ant, and a big African elephant. You know, the African elephant is the largest species in the world. Huge things, tons of weights. And they both wanted to cross a shaky bridge. The ant sat right behind the elephant's ear and said, "Elephant, I'm riding you when you cross the bridge." So the elephant stepped on the bridge. The bridge swung. The next foot, it swung that way, this way, that way, this way, that way. And when the elephant was on the other side, the ant scratched the ear of the elephant and said, "Elephant, you and I, we really made the bridge to swing." If you've never been able to swing a bridge, get Jesus on board. Yeah. Jesus, I need you. And then you can talk in plural and say, "Thank you, we won, Lord. I won, I won." Young people, don't be despaired. Because something doesn't go right in your life with a relationship or with a job or who knows what. Have Jesus as your partner. And you cross, swing any bridge. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you happy? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus says here, "I will come in to you." I mean, that makes it so clear. It's not something out or in. He says, "I will." And his will shall be done. And we submit to the will of God. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I will come in. If you have not Jesus yet as that living Savior in your life this moment, I tell you, he will come in to your life. And he will save you and break every chain, including every chain in the brain. He will break every chain of sickness. He's Lord. I don't know whether I told you that story before when I was here a few years ago. I think you have forgotten it in the meantime. I really don't know, so I'll tell you anyway. Is that okay? Yeah. It's one of the most precious experiences I've had in my life. That was when we started with our huge tent crusades, and we had an electronic organ. And I had music ministers there, so that they did a perfect job. But they said to me, our keyboard is broken. They fixed it. Not long, it broke again. I said to my music minister, I said, this keyboard is on its way to its funeral. I said, let's go and have a look if we can buy a new one. So his name was Adam Motsveni. Adam and I, we went to look for a really good keyboard for our tent crusades. We had a tent that sat 34,000 people. And we came, entered the shop. It was midday, noon. There was a salesman standing outside, not watching us, just like this, smoking a cigarette. We passed him through the door and looked from keyboard to keyboard and tried them out to see what might be suitable for our ministry. And when I was right at the end, sitting there and trying the keyboard out, suddenly this salesman stood in front of me. This time completely different. I looked into a bloodless face. He was trembling. A man I'd never seen before. And a man who never knew me. He looked at me and said, "Sir, I can see Jesus in your eyes." I don't know what I did. I think I did this as well. I said, "How can this be? He's a total stranger. And he's shaking, saying he can see Jesus in my eyes." I tell you what happened in that music shop. We had a revival. And it didn't take long when Jesus had entered that man and saved his soul. I met his wife years later. She said, "My husband became truly born again. And that is how he went to heaven." I was so glad. But when I left that music shop, we didn't buy anything. When I left that music shop and I walked to my car, in the parking area, I walked and I said, "Lord, there's something I can never understand. I can never understand how a total stranger can look into my eyes and say, I can see Jesus in your eyes." Suddenly, I heard the Holy Spirit speak. Amen. You know what he said? He said, "No problem, Reinhard." The Holy Spirit said, "Jesus lives in your heart, and sometimes he looks out of the windows." Ha! Jesus says, I will come into you. And he loves to look out of your windows. And you will be holy, the righteousness of God in Christ. You have victory in temptation. Are you blessed? Yes. Oh, may Jesus forever look out of our eyes and not the devil, but Jesus. Let's give Jesus a hand. Koshaparapopapalamasaya. Whoa! Hallelujah! 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 Have I still time for one more story? You know, this is actually my parable. It's a parable. But I think it is so fantastic. I believe you will never forget it. And I hope you can apply it and tell it to others. There was a young man. He was the owner of a house. Two stories. 5 downstairs, 5 rooms and 5 rooms upstairs. He was very proud of his house. And one day, there was a very gentle knock on the door. When he opened, who was it? The Lord Jesus. He said, may I please come in? Oh, yes. The young man said, Lord, I've been waiting for you. Please come in. I give you the best room of the house. Jesus is a gentleman. He said, thank you very much. He stepped over the threshold. And the young man said, the best room is upstairs. Let's go upstairs, I'll show you. It's the finest furnished, it's the biggest, it's the most comfortable, it's the best view, everything the best. Jesus said, thank you very much. He gave him the room. Next morning, there was a terrible knocking on the door. The young man went and opened the door. He couldn't believe his eyes. Who was it? The devil! He said, no, no, no! Not into my house! I don't want you! But the devil was already in with a foot, and the struggle started. The whole day, a terrible struggle. The devil poured filthy temptations over his mind. He thought he fought for his life. So terrible. Only in the evening, he somehow managed to get the devil out. And when he closed the door, totally exhausted, he said, wait a minute. I've got Jesus in my house. Why didn't he come? Why didn't he come to help me? He went upstairs. He said, Lord Jesus, didn't you hear the devil came? Why didn't you come and help me? The Lord Jesus said, my son, of the 10 rooms in your house, you just gave me 1. You are the owner of the house. Oh, he said, Lord, I can see my mistake. What a big mistake. Let's make 50-50. The Lord is a gentleman. He said, thank you very much. Next morning. Oh, it must be the devil. But I need, maybe it's a neighbor. I just have to look. When he opened a wee bit, the devil was there with a foot in the door. The struggle started again. The whole day. In the evening, he somehow got the devil out. But then he thought, wait a minute. I gave 50% to Jesus. Why didn't he come to help me? He walks up again. Say, Lord Jesus, didn't you hear how the devil troubled me and kicked me? Why didn't you come and help me? The Lord Jesus said to him, listen, if you give me all 10 rooms, then I'm not staying with you, but you are staying with me. The young man fell on his knees. He got out of his pocket the key of the front door and said, I transfer ownership to you, Lord Jesus. This house belongs to you 100%. That's not the end of it. The best is still to come. Next morning, before dawn, a banging against the front door. The young man was still in bed. He said, it's the devil again. And while he was still lamenting, he heard footsteps, this time in the house. Ah, of course, Jesus is the owner. And Jesus came here like a king. And he walked straight to the front door. The young man said, now I want to watch to see what happens. And he stood right behind Jesus and looked over his shoulder. Jesus didn't open the door a wee bit. He opened it as wide as it would go. And who was there? The devil. And when the devil saw Jesus, he bowed very low and said, excuse me, please, I knocked on the wrong door. Hallelujah! That makes the gospel the good news. Isn't it? And that's why Jesus is so precious, so loving, like nobody else. Maybe someone is here who has given 9 rooms to Jesus. And on the door of room number 10, you have a label. Private, no access. And in that one room, there may be all the pornography and all the filth of the world and the whiskey and the drugs and the snuff. Get that label off that door. Your whole life shall belong to Jesus. Jesus has not come to shame you. He has come to save you. We all came as sinners. And now you've heard Jesus knock. Jesus, you opened the door and he is stepping in. Just say, "Oh Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Wash me with your precious blood. I hand my life over to you. Fill it with your glory, with your power. I want to serve you and love you all the days of my life." And Jesus will do it right now. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes. Oh Lord, you are here. We have heard your gentle knocking. And Lord, we all open our door and say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, right now." And then he will do what you couldn't do on your own. He will get the devil out in no time and will establish his dwelling in you and be with you forever.